Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Yesterday, President Obama decided to step forward and make some comments about the George Zimmerman verdict 6 days after the fact. He stepped up to the podium in the press room at the White House, unannounced. The White House press did not know he was going to do this. He didn't have a speech on notes. Oh, he had a couple of notes on a card, but he didn't have a speech written out ahead of time by somebody else. He wasn't reading it off a teleprompter. He just wanted to, I guess, address the nation with some thoughts on what had happened in that trial. And obviously, he had been thinking about it and talking to a lot of people about it and thinking every time he looked in the mirror, well, that could have been me.
When Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago. And when you think about why, in the African-American community at least, there's a lot of pain around what happened here. I think it's important to recognize that the African-American community is looking at this issue through a set of experiences and a history that that doesn't go away. You know, there are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. There are very, very few African-American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on the doors of cars. That happens to me, at least before I was a senator. There are very few African-Americans who haven't had the experience of getting on an elevator and a woman clutching her purse nervously and holding her breath until she had a chance to get off. That happens often.
That is President Obama yesterday in the White House press room. Here to talk about that rather extraordinary event is Jamel Bowie, who is a columnist for the Daily Beast and a writer for the American Prospect. Jamel, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you for having me.
As an African American, what did that mean to you?
It actually means a lot. I think I've written many times that one of President Obama's challenges as a politician is he has to both maintain his appeal as an African-American politician, but not alienate white voters and voters in general with sort of a highly racialized persona. And so for most of his political career, he's done his best to sort of de-racialize his political persona. And this is one of the few times that he's ever really talked about being a black man. And it's, you know, of the times, I think it's one of the most extensive times he's done so. And so, you know, for me and for a lot of people I know, it was very heartening and very meaningful to see the President of the United States talk about experiences that many of us have shared.
What's interesting to me is you almost never hear a president, any president, talking about things from a personal perspective. But it seemed to me as I watched this yesterday that this really had an impact on him. It seemed to me like the reason he had to come out there was he'd been thinking about this and talking about it quite a bit. Did it seem that way to you too?
It seemed that way to me as well. You know, the fact that he didn't participate sounded like if there was no overarching argument, it seemed to be a series of points and observations and things that could become an argument if he spent a bit more time on them. It's a big sign that, like, oh, but this is sort of Obama thinking through something. And I'll also say that while this was personal, and you're right, the presidents don't usually talk about things in this personal way. These problems of racial profiling, problems of sort of like generalized suspicion of black men are very much national problems. And I think that the best way to actually get to them and to sort of make people see the kind of impact they have is through a personal narrative. Ironically, maybe that's the only way we can really start to think about the impact these things have on ordinary citizens, not through sort of a 30,000 feet removed view, but actually saying, look, the President of the United States has gone through this, and that fact means that, you know, maybe all of us should really start thinking harder about these problems.
Yeah, and I heard that a lot this week. Oh, maybe this will create a national dialogue on race. Even before Obama spoke yesterday, they were talking about how maybe the Zimmerman verdict will spark a national dialogue on race, and I've heard it a lot in the last day since he made these things. I got to be honest, Jamel, I don't see us having a national dialogue on race or anybody really having their mind changed by anything that's happened in the last week. Do you?
No, I don't. People tend to have their minds pretty hardened. I will say, though, that just because minds aren't being changed, so there are conversations happening, right? There are conversations happening in communities, among friends, among family members. And even if minds aren't changed, I think the mere fact that those conversations happening is important.
Do you feel that President Obama, up until yesterday, well, I guess he talked about race a little bit because of the Reverend Wright stuff when he was running in 2007 and 2008. But in the 5 years or 4.5 years of his presidency, he really hasn't addressed this before. Do you think in not putting himself into the forefront of that kind of discussion during his first administration and these first 6 months of his second term that he has missed an opportunity?
He probably has. I can't say definitively that he has missed an opportunity, but he probably has. And I should say, I completely understand why President Obama has not inserted himself into these things. I mean, the two instances that stand out the most to me where he actually began to broach the subject of race was in 2009 after Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates was arrested at his home. And then in last year, shortly after the Trayvon Martin shooting, where he said, you know, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon. And in both of those instances, that response, his responses generated a tremendous amount of discontent with a large number of people, kind of underscoring this idea that Obama actually is limited by political reality from talking very much about race. I think there's a study that came out a couple years ago, maybe it was last year, 2 years ago, which found that of American presidents, Obama was the one who has talked about race the least. I mean, I don't think it's an accident. So, you know, maybe what we're seeing is, you know, it's his second term. You know, he may have come to the conclusion that there's only, at a certain point, he can no longer deracialize himself, that people are just going to see him as a black president. So why not begin to address issues that would be pertinent to both Americans, but also specific to the African-American experience.
Yeah, because you know that there are people who watched this yesterday and said, hey, why is he talking like he's just an African-American? As the president, he's an American, and he's got to represent white people like me.
Right, right. And I think it's unavoidable, even though, like I said earlier, by talking about these things, he is representing white people, but that race is not that. White Americans have a racial identity as well, and race isn't just something that applies to minorities. And America's struggle for racial equality has to include whites as much as it does everyone else, because whites played a large part in building an America that was racially unequal.
Here's another clip of President Obama yesterday. I want your reaction to this, Jamel.
If Trayvon Martin was of age and armed, could he have stood his ground on that sidewalk? And do we actually think that he would have been justified in shooting Mr. Zimmerman, who had followed him in a car, because he felt threatened?
Do you think that President Obama inserting himself into that legal question is a good idea?
I think it is, because I'm not sure that it's a legal question, right? I think what he's doing is he's, I think, asking Americans to put themselves directly in the shoes and experience of Martin. What we know about that encounter is that Zimmerman saw Martin, Zimmerman called the police, Zimmerman began approaching Martin. Well, we don't know anything that happened after that. Zimmerman says that Martin attacked him. We don't know what Martin says, because Martin was killed, but there is just as much evidence to suggest that Zimmerman may be confronted. We don't know. So knowing what we know, it's entirely possible that there is a scenario in which Martin would have been justified to stand his ground. And I think asking people to consider that, to say, you know, could that have happened? It's what it's saying, what it's acknowledging is that there are very real, there are racial realities to how we perceive danger.
Absolutely. So, Jamel Bowie is a writer for The American Prospect and a columnist for The Daily Beast. Thanks so much for joining me here today on America Weekend.
America Weekend.